It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Your official station to talk Yankees. The Fan, 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app. Download it today.
Called his wife in. 404, McMonigle here with you on another miserable Monday. They just to keep on a rolling in. I mean, it is even the Giants didn't get a single bit of help in their tank efforts. They went from second to fifth in the draft, but that's not the story, obviously. The obvious story is the New York Jets continue to find ways to lose. And Aaron Rodgers, despite maybe being able to look at the numbers in the if you just pull up ESPN right now and look at the box score, might not be one of his worst days, did absolutely nothing in the first half, was dreadful at the end of the game, the same old crap. But somewhere along the line, they did find a way to get the ball into the end zone 3 times. For me, the story of this game is the absolute disaster that is this New York Jets defense. This defense is so overrated and so poor right now. And to allow Anthony Richardson to go down the field not once but twice on 70-yard touchdown runs, and the last one give him 60 on 3 plays to stick it in the end zone and end your season. Think about this defense. And I talked about this a lot because there was a moment here in the game where they had all the momentum. After the offense started with the first 5 drives, all 3 and outs, they didn't get a first down in this game until the final drive of the first half where they found a way to put it in the end zone. But the defense gave up a touchdown to make it 10-0 at the kind of very beginning of the second quarter. From that moment on, the defense shut them down. They had 7 consecutive drives. 7 drives, a total of 36 yards, including a fumble recovery. 36 yards and a turnover for 7 consecutive drives while the Jets offense finally put it together and Breece Hall was making plays and Rodgers was getting into Devontae Adams and Devontae Adams was showing life and running through people and putting his shoulder down and getting yards after the catch. They figure out a way to get 3 touchdowns. Yeboah gets into the end zone, and from that moment on, after 7 consecutive drives where they shut down Richardson and that Colt offense to allow their offense and Aaron Rodgers to give them the lead and build all the momentum when the game was on the line, just like it was against Jacoby Brissett and the New England Patriots, or just like it was overall, even when this defense was going well years ago. When the game is on the line, this defense folds. And whether it's a mental breakdown on the Pierce play 39 yards down the sideline on the final drive of the game that breaks that. Like, Anthony Richardson was completing 44% of his passes heading into this game. He was benched for Joe Flacco. He started less than 30 games of his college and NFL combined career. This is a young, inexperienced, super talented, super athletic, as we saw, quarterback with different skill sets, one of them not being that accurate. And instead of keeping everything in front of them and making sure he has to make play after play after play to get down the field, they allow a 39-yard play on the second play of that drive to set them up within 3 plays. They're at the 10-yard line. This defense, when the game is on the line, and I know they've been bad since the coach got fired, which, by the way, again, just an absolute disaster. Think of all the things that we're going to save this season. I think of all the Woody comes out and he's like, we needed this desperately. I felt like this is going to give us a boost. Yeah, give us your boost. The defense has been atrocious since. And this isn't like the minute you talk about anything else besides Aaron Rodgers, oh, you're not blaming Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers was awful in this game. And at the end of the game, after the coach didn't trust his guy, right, who was brought here, and I know people don't like it when I mention this too, the four-time MVP and Super Bowl-winning quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, who hasn't taken the field for the Jets yet. I understand that. That player hasn't been here. But that's still his pedigree. That's who he is, and that's who you're paying him to be. On fourth and two to go win the game, they don't trust him. They burned a timeout pulling the nonsense of trying to get the guy offsides. And instead of just taking 5 yards and turning a 35-yard kick into a 40-yard kick, they call their second timeout, leaving them with mere seconds and only one timeout. And when Aaron Rodgers takes the field, there is zero confidence. There is zero aura. There is zero Aaron Rodgers has a chance to do this. And within the first play, throwing it backwards and having to force the timeout and losing 13 yards, you found out exactly why there is no aura and there is no confidence. And then he ends it with taking a terrible sack. So I'm not trying to give no blame to Aaron Rodgers, who clearly was awful to start the game, found his way there for a bit, and then at the end of the game, although not really a huge opportunity, absolutely crapped all over himself. He doesn't throw the ball down the field. They don't make big plays. Even the touchdowns are either the wide-open bootleg to Yeboah or Breece Hall making big time plays. Like, nothing is down the field. Nothing is the big play. Nothing is at the feet of this NFL superstar Hall of Fame quarterback. None of it is. But that doesn't change the fact all this defense had to do was stop Anthony Richardson, a quarterback completing 44% of his passes, who was benched for Joe Flacco against an offense and with an offense that really the running game was non-existent. The Jets' defense, their big problem this year has been the run game. They allow less than 100 yards of rushing. This young superstar, Jonathan Taylor, less than 60 yards of rushing. Down the stretch, they're throwing 6, 7, 8 consecutive passes. Anthony Richardson, on the strength of his arm and his legs, go down the field twice against this defense and lose the game. So, listen, the coaching is awful. The quarterback is awful. The offense is awful. The penalties are awful. All of it. This defense that a year ago liked to compare themselves to the 85 Bears. This defense that takes such great pride in being the strength of this team. This defense that last year was complaining, obviously, about the quarterback play. And that's all they need is some offense. Complaining that, hey, you know, we got to score too. This defense that's supposed to be the hallmark of this team continues to fall apart. And they've been brutally bad all around. Last week they didn't show up, and they've been brutal all over since the firing of their head coach. But their season was still alive in some way, shape, or form. The offense went down there, scored the touchdowns, took the lead, and all this defense had to do was to keep their season alive heading into the bye, to still be able to talk about football this year heading into the bye, to still be able to talk about maybe beating Seattle when we get back off of a bye, and still having those conversations, still being alive, still looking forward to a season in some way, shape, or form. They allowed one of the more inaccurate passers in the NFL to go down the field twice, 70 yards, to beat them and end their season. Everything else about this game, to me, is secondary to that. Defense is a joke. The whole team is a joke. The whole organization is a joke. And they're sitting here 3-8, dead. The season's over. Our football city, our football teams in this city, both are dead and over. And we're going to be talking about either disappointing continuation, or we're going to be talking about tanking. We're going to be talking about drafting. We're going to be talking about the path forward. We're going to be talking about head coaches and GMs. We're not going to be talking about football. The last thing we're going to talk about is how the Jets have a game plan to beat the Seattle Seahawks. That's the last thing we'll talk about. Why would we? We're going to be talking right on to Juan Soto for the next 2 weeks, and hopefully only that. 888-808-1019, because I don't know how many more great meetings I can take. Who knows who will step up? You should have heard the Colorado Rockies pitch, playing that ballpark, you know, the way the ball flies.
Maybe the Giants.
San Francisco Giants,
Can't wait to hear about the Dodgers meeting.
Yep. They're all going to be wonderful and stupendous, I can tell you now. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Eric in Ronkonkoma. What's up, Eric?
Yeah, good morning, C-Mac. They couldn't have put it any better, really, as far as the way the game was yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, you know, as I was telling Robbie, there's so many points during the game where you look at, you know, when they were scoring, I mean, it boggles your mind, like, you know, they looked phenomenal for, like, a few minutes. And you say to yourself, like, you know the talent is there, obviously, I mean, with the players and everything. And when they execute, it looks awesome. But they can't put a whole game together. It is ridiculous. I mean, it just, you know, so there's really no surprise when there's a lot of laps going on, you know, in between scoring drives and things like that. I mean, literally, the first time there were any cheers in that stadium was 2 minutes, you know, left in the first half when they finally scored. You know, I mean, it's
no, and or it's cheers, cheers when cheers when Sauce Gardner makes a tackle, and the whole crowd gives him a derisive cheer. That's it. I mean, right now to be a Jet fan in that building is just, of course, there's no juice to the team, none. And if there is any, the defense immediately gives it up. The defense was the thing for me today. Just embarrassing. And the offense, again, the first half, it's that same. Like, it's amazing to me how they consistently start these games. Like, how do they consistently start these games like this? They never come out with a bounce in their step. They never come out and go right down the field. They never play their best football in the first quarter. Ever. Now, you don't have to necessarily, but just once or twice would be nice. They come out in a meeting like, this is just a disaster. Five consecutive three and outs to start the. You have Aaron Rodgers. I know he's not what he was, and that's the point, I guess. But like, five consecutive three and outs to start the game against this Colt team that isn't any good? You can't get off first down? And that's what's funny. You mentioned complimentary football there. That's what it's about. Like, they do just enough to keep the games close, but never enough to win. Like, not all the games are close. Last week, they didn't show up at all and got blown out. But, like, the defense played well in the first half to keep them in it. If the defense played like they did at the end of the game, it would have been over at the half. But instead, they fight, they claw, they make big plays. They hold them to 10, and then again, after that 10-point in the second quarter, they do, after that touchdown to make it a 10-point lead, 10-0, they shut them down. The Jets go for it on fourth down and run the handoff to Conklin or whatever and fall short. And I saw, you know, people getting on Tiki for, you know, that play call saying, you know, some giving them credit for doing something original. It was, I mean, it's not like I have any faith in them doing anything no matter what, but I agreed with going for it. They got to be more aggressive. They should have went for it at the end of the game. Be aggressive. You got three wins. Your defense blows it every chance you get. Be aggressive.
But would it kill you to give it to the guy who doesn't go backwards and Braylon Allen?
I get it. It wouldn't kill you. No, it wouldn't kill you. Just to line up. Maybe stay out of the shotgun as well. I mean, you're right. It is what it is. I don't hate that play call. I would have preferred to just hand it to Allen. I agree. But off of that, they give up 10 yards and a field goal. And from that point on, they give up 26 yards over the next six drives, including a fumble recovery. Like, the defense played really well. They played well early on in the first half to keep it a 10-0 deficit. Then they played really well while the Jets' offense finally found itself, scored a touchdown at the end of the first half, and came out in the second half and played well. They played well while the team was building a lead. They played well, they played well, they played well until the game was on the line, and then they fold. Then there's miscommunication between Sauce Gardner and the safety. Then they allow Downs to get into the end zone. Then, game on the line, this team folds, man. It's unbelievable. This defense in particular folds. Kevin in Brooklyn, what's up, Kev?
Chris, I give you a lot of credit for going through this every week over and over again. I don't know how you do it.
Yeah, it's not easy with these two football teams, man. You would think we'd have some freaking joy with these teams. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And but it's, here it's we year are after year. It's year after. It's not just week after week. It's year after year.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, going forward, if we can look forward again, we just have to really look at the top of this organization.
Yeah.
And just get it right. You know, I mean, maybe selling this team and maybe having Cohen buy it and moving the Jets to City Field. Yeah.
That would be great, Kevin, but we can't talk about selling the team. That's not, we could talk about who the owner should hire to run the team, right? I saw Gary Myers put out a plan that would have Curtis Martin being the president of football operations. Whatever. I don't know if that's a good idea, bad idea. It's something. I mean, it's something. It seems a little bit, you know, that I the same vein of all the arguments I have about Derek Jeter running the Yankees and Jorge Posada being the manager and Paul O'Neill being the hitting coach. But, I mean, that's not to knock Curtis Martin. Very bright guy. And he has connections. Maybe he'd be able to hire a good head coach. You know, connections with Bill Parcells, understands things. I don't know. Fine. We could talk about that. Who should run it? Who should do this? Who they should hire? I can't discuss with you who they should sell the team to. That it's, you can't have that. The owner's the owner. And until he decides to sell it, we can't hope him. We can't hope that he sells it. It is what it is. We'll see if he's destined to go back to his former post as, you know, ambassador to England. Maybe he gets that job back that Trump's back in office. Maybe he does. I don't know when that would take place. I mean, he doesn't take office until January, mid-January, and then I'm sure he won't be appointed until February. He's still going to hire this next crop, I would think. I think Woody's still going to be there to hire the new GM, hire the new head coach before even taking that job that hasn't been offered to him yet. So, I don't know. I can't talk to that. All I can talk to is that the current regime is awful. Him deciding to fire the head coach 5 weeks in was a disaster. This season would still be alive. They might not be a playoff team. They might not. They certainly probably still wouldn't be a championship caliber team like we hoped. But the season would be alive. I firmly believe that. The defense has completely fallen apart since they fired the coach. The team has completely fallen apart. It was a disaster move from this owner on a long streak of disastrous moves that have led to, again, you make me laugh when you say week after week. It's not week after week. It's year after year. With both of these teams now. And I don't want to get into a contest on who's got it worse, who's a long-suffering fan. People, Jet fans always call, you got to be kidding me with this Giants stuff. I get it. They've won Super Bowls. I get it. Eli Manning was around my lifetime. He's the last franchise quarterback, and he won two Super Bowls. I get it. You have to go back to 1969. I get it. But the last 10 years have been as bad for both. It's 10 years now. It's a decade. My children have not seen good football in this city at all. It's long enough. And again, it's Christmas decorations going up. Which is, you know, ridiculous that I'm doing it so early. I don't know. There's something that bothers me about putting up the Christmas decorations so early. Because then you're the guy. You're the guy on the block who does it. You've planted that flag. Like, we're starting Christmas now, everybody. Keep up. Because I know that's what happens when we drive around the neighborhood. If my wife sees it, oh, the Davises have it, honey. And you got to put up the Christmas lights. It's annoying. But no matter how early my wife insists on me lugging up those 6-foot nutcrackers, it doesn't change the fact that whenever she asks, the football season should be alive, especially from a franchise that brought in a Hall of Famer. That is as talented, and I stand by this. I really do. I stand by this. They are talented enough to be a contender, not just a playoff team, a contender inside this AFC. They're talented enough. They are. And yet they're 3-8. They are the most puzzling team I've ever seen. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you. We'll finish up with your calls. Still got about 40 minutes. We'll take Juan Soto calls as well. Nick calls. We have all week to get into some of those other things. We're putting the Jets to bed, quite honestly. This is it. They have a bye next week, and they'll probably just go on and be forgotten about. Same thing with the Giants. We're arguing about whether or not they should tank. I'm this is where the Giants have put me. And this is where the Jet fans are going to be. Like, right now, as a Giant fan, I am rooting for the Dallas Cowboys tonight. That's where it's gotten. I am rooting for the 3-6 Cowboys to get their fourth win and just put another team further away from the top pick or in between the Giants and that top pick. I want the Cowboys to win. And that's on the New York Giants. And if you start rooting for the Dolphins as a Jet fan or anybody else to get, you know, a couple more wins to get better draft positioning, that's on them. And I'm sick to my stomach and I'm tired of this over and over again. 888-808-1019. At least the Knicks have put back-to-back wins together for what feels like the first time all year. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Come back with your phone calls next right here on The Fan.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Talk New York sports on The Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, 429. McVonnegut here with you on The Fan. Got you for a half hour to the warm-up show. 888-808-1019. Talking mainly Jets, mixed in a little bit of the nonsense that is the Juan Soto stuff, because it just drives me crazy about how good the meetings were.
Oh.
You tell me the Mets had a good meeting? Really? With their owner with a, $13 billion, the richest owner in the sport, and you know, a team that was in the NLCS last year, and pretty much the presumed, along with the Yankees, favorite to sign Juan Soto. They had a well planned out presentation, very thorough. Thorough, you say? Okay. Amazing. I'm sure if it went poorly, Juan Soto would tell everybody that the Mets had such a poor presentation that he's questioning whether or not he'd want to sign with them. I'm sure that's exactly what he would say if it went poorly. And I'm not saying it did go poorly. I'm just saying the idea that that's like back page news. We knew he was going to meet with them. We know he's a favorite. We know he's the richest owner. Nothing has changed. And I get so much, oh, you're nervous. Oh, now you're like, I'm as nervous as I was yesterday. That's my only point is the idea that this meeting tells you anything is ridiculous. I'm not even sure the numbers being reported, which I guess is at 660 or something along those lines, 660 that he's been offered from the Mets. Every other report is that the other teams haven't discussed money. So I don't know if the Mets have even yet offered a contract. But we know he's going to come in with a big offer. We know he's got his mindset on getting Juan Soto. And we know the Mets are a legitimate option for him to go. They've been one of the favorites along with the Yankees this entire time. Rich in San Francisco. What's up, Rich?
Yeah, can you hear me?
I certainly can, Rich. How are you?
Very tired. I've been on hold for almost 49 minutes.
Oh, I'm sorry about that, buddy. We got a break every once in a while. What do you got?
All right, I got two things I want to say. Well, you're mocking me right now, but it's you know, you're a good guy. I said a few months ago, I thought you were kind of like Larry King. So I compliment you, and listen. I just think you ought to be a little bit more. Anyway, because I normally don't stay on hold that long. But two things I want to say about Soto. You're mocking Soto. I were you, I would say, you know what, the hell with all this. I'm not even going to talk about it until they have a deal, whoever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And the Giants supposedly are going to offer, the San Francisco Giants, are going to offer them $1 billion. $1 billion plus a penny over whatever to match it. Okay, now, if that sounds crazy, but yeah. Think about it.
I haven't heard, you've heard reports that San Francisco is going to offer them $1 billion?
Well,
you being sarcastic or like facetious a little bit, or did you actually hear that number?
I'm not being facetious. What's the difference between 700 million and a billion?
It's 300 million.
Right. Well, forget about. Okay. So think about that. And then as far as the Giants and the Jets.
Yeah.
You're saying tank, Giants should tank.
Yes.
Yet you're pissed off that the Jets found a way to lose. You should be happy based on your
amazingly enough, with four wins inside the AFC, they would still somewhat be alive. What's that?
They're not going anywhere. Come on, you know.
No, I understand that, but at least they could have a season. There's no way the Giants can have a season. They also have Aaron Rodgers, and I know he hasn't played like Aaron Rodgers, but having Aaron Rodgers compared to having Daniel Jones is not the same thing. They went all in on this year. They just added Devontae Adams in the middle of this season. As long as they're alive, even if you think they're not going anywhere, they have much less reason to tank than the New York Giants do. The Giants have every reason. One, the quarterback can't get hurt, so I don't want to play him anymore, because then he'll be on the team next year. Plus, they're definitely going to be looking to draft a young quarterback. I would think the Jets would be the same. And at this point, now that they've lost this game, I probably am on lose every game. It's better for them than winning two or three more, no doubt. But because of the schedule, because they do have Aaron Rodgers, and maybe, I was just hoping that they would awaken from their slumber, I also think they're more talented. The Giants' defense, although has shown some, you know, ability over the course of the season, is still the youngest defense in the league. I don't think they're overly talented. The Giants have, you know, Neighbors, who hasn't played as well since the concussion, but they don't have much talent. The Jets have Garrett Wilson, Devontae Adams, Breece Hall. They have a bunch of good players on defense. They have more talent. They're all in to win. The Giants went into the season hoping, if things went right, could compete for a playoff spot. The Jets went in thinking if everything went right, they'd be competing for a Super Bowl. They're in different spots. And heading into that game, they were in different spots. Now they might be in the same spot. I'm with you. The season's dead. They're 3-8. They're probably better off losing. But not yesterday. Alex in Southampton. What's up, Alex?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you, buddy?
Great show. Great show, as always, buddy.
Thank you.
Before I get into my Giants, I was laughing with your take. I'm sorry. It's funny how the Yankees never lost a free agent that they didn't want to, and we are discarded, basically.
That is true. The Yankees. That is true. The Yankees have never lost someone they wanted to keep. And they when they deem someone they want to go get, they typically go get them. So I'm with you on that. But this is different. I don't think you could just rely on that. I do think that that is an element to it, and I believe the Yankees will be willing to spend. Like right now, if it's $660 million, I think the Yankees go there. Like if that's the initial.
No, yes, it's not for sure, but yeah. It gives me great confidence in knowing that my owner is in it. Like, you know, and we're going to do everything possible. And I think at the end, the money is kind of similar, like with the Judge. He'll pick the Giants.
Well, we'll see. That has yet to be seen. I just think it's comical that it gets the back page, like it's some sort of big story that Juan Soto had a good, productive meeting with the Mets, when there is no way anything else other than that was coming out of that story. It goes for every team. The Boston Red Sox, I mean, were a non-issue in this thing. They have one meeting,
absolutely,
and suddenly they're thrusted right into it. Toronto, same thing. Oh, my God, the presentation that the Blue Jays put forth was just unbelievable. And the Red Sox, it was a three-hour meeting. You couldn't get them out of the room. They were like, it was getting that like awkward for a second. Like, you won't hear anything. Like, what do you think there's going to be a report that, the meeting went okay. In fact, Juan Soto yawned throughout the whole thing. Like, no one's going to report that.
I know. They're starting teams already. It's so early. Like, they're going to do that.
Yeah.
But I'm with the Giants. Like, I think it was the game before they played the Panthers. I called, and not you. And I said that I look at the Giants schedule, and the only game that I saw them possible winning was the Panthers.
Right.
And I asked, if it would be a good idea for the Giants to tank for Shador.
Yeah.
And I was met like with, oh my God, he's so like cocky, and I think he can handle New York. I think he's the best quarterback in college. I think he's a student of the game, and I think Dabel will do wonders with this kid. What do you think about the Giants getting him, and what do you think about him handling New York?
All right. Well, there are two different questions. One, I don't see anything that would make me think he couldn't handle New York. I know. Listen, is he a little bit like his father? In the, you know, being a little bit braggadocious maybe, or things like that. Yeah. I mean, he's obviously his father's son in many ways. I do think he has the ability to play in this league. I don't know. I think he's got the arm strength to play in this league. I think he's got the ability to play in this league. Can he? I don't know. Can he handle New York? I'd like to think so. I don't know. We've seen guys handle New York every different style. We've seen guys who are like him and cocky a little bit and you know, confident in themselves and put it out there, who've succeeded. And then we've seen guys who are very introverts introverts and very quiet and barely speak, who've succeeded and failed both ways. So, I mean, I don't know if I've seen anything that tell me he cannot handle it here. He's had his father's name with him his whole life. Sometimes that is a benefit. Sometimes it's negative. I don't know. But what I'll tell you is, whether the Giants draft him or not, if they lose out and they keep Shane and Dable, I just want them to draft who I believe. And this is why, you know, many Giant fans disagree with me that they've been such a terrible, they've done such a terrible job between the two of them. You got to move on from them, fire everybody, what are we doing? How could you even remotely contemplate keeping Dable and Shane? Because I believe this is the one thing they're good at. And maybe I'll be wrong on that, and they'll, you know, put the franchise in even further bad standing and create this rebuild for another 4 or 5 years with the wrong pick. I think the pick needs to be made. That's how I feel. I wanted to do it last year. I was willing to draft J.J. McCarthy. If they felt like it was worthy of it, like I wanted the quarterback last year. I don't want to wait. I think they need the quarterback now. I don't know what position they'll be in next year. They're going to be close to the top of the draft here. Go get, if they want to trade for, someone brought up trading for Trevor Lawrence. If they want to trade for Trevor Lawrence or they want to trade for another franchise quarterback, I don't know, whatever crazy circumstance.
Well, would you trade for J.J. McCarthy, who you just
mentioned? Yeah, I mean, I would trade for J.J. McCarthy. Yeah, I would. If they felt confident in Sam Darnold moving forward.
And then how many years, though, do you then give Dable and Shane with this new quarterback? Because that's part of it.
That's it. You're 100% right. For 3-4 years. They're here for a decade now. It's crazy. But, like, that's where I'm at. Because I saw what they did in Buffalo with Josh Allen, and I saw them in Hard Knocks specifically want Jaden Daniels. That's who they wanted. They nailed the right guy. They knew exactly who to go get, and if they were in a position to do it, he'd be here instead of in Washington. So I honestly believe we saw him get the best out of Daniel Jones for one season before Daniel Jones broke, and that's on him too. But we saw him get the best out of Daniel Jones for 1 year. We saw him turn Tommy DeVito into a household name selling Rao's pizza sauce. Like, I honestly believe if he's given the young quarterback he believes in, he can develop him. So the one thing that I think the Giants need to do this year and need to do to save their franchise is to draft and develop a young quarterback. And I don't know if I see a better choice between Dable and Shane to do that in the NFL right now. I just don't know. And I'm tired of hiring and firing, and they've shown some semblance of doing a decent job, particularly Dable at coaching in his first year, where he was coach of the year in the NFL. Like, if they fire everybody, they fire everybody. But I do believe that the one thing they can do for sure is the one thing I need this franchise to do. So all I want, if they're staying, all I want, I can't tell you it should be him, Sanders, it should be Ward. I don't pretend to be an expert. I can give you my opinion, and I will as we get closer to the draft. But right now, as we're talking about the Giants losing games and securing a better draft pick, all I want is Brian Dable and Joe Shane to have the best ability to get the guy they want. That's it. Nothing else is more important to me. Daniel Jones not being under contract next year and having the best opportunity with the largest pool of players to pick from to give Brian Dable and Joe Shane the best chance to get the guy they believe in. Those are the only two things I care about moving forward. That's it. Make sure Daniel Jones doesn't get hurt and get me the best draft pick possible. Anything else is noise. Anything else is silly. Keeping the team together, showing that the coach can rally the troops and that they won't quit on him. All of that is absolute garbage. They showed it last year with a couple of wins. What'd it do this year? They showed it. They went on a great run and won a playoff game last year, 40-0 to the Cowboys week 1. It means absolutely nothing year to year. It means absolutely nothing. You want to tell me you get hot going into the playoffs? I'll buy that. You want to tell me playing well leading into, you know, I mean, I know they're a young team with a lot of returning starters, probably, certainly on the defense. I don't care. This is a year-to-year proposition. I want to lose, and I want to make sure Daniel Jones isn't on the team, and I want to give Brian Daboll and Joe Shane the best opportunity to get their guy. That's it. Everything else is secondary. 888-808-1019. Quick break, come back, finish it off all the way to 5 o'clock, rapid-fire style, until the warm-up show. McMonagle here with you on The Fan.
Your official station to talk Jets. The Fan, 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app. Download it today.
All right. 24 hours ago. 24 hours ago, we had a football season. Kind of. Sort of. We fooled ourselves into thinking so, and now there's no more fooling. We can't lie to ourselves anymore. The football season is over here in New York. It isn't over for the Buffalo Bills. I know everyone, you'd be amazed how many people try and make that point.
The only team that actually plays in New York is the Buffalo Bills. You aware of that?
Yeah, I'm aware of it. And they made a statement last night. And Josh Allen, drafted and developed in some part. I'm not sure how much part. I really don't know. That's probably, I'm lying to myself probably with that too, let's be honest. Shane and Dable. I mean, he gets they take down the undefeated Chiefs, who are no longer undefeated, obviously, 30-21. Big run into the end zone to seal the deal. He's just an incredible player. He's an incredible player, and the Bills make a statement to go 9-2. I think the 49ers made a statement, too, that they are increasingly average at 5-5, losing to the Seahawks. I think the Broncos made a statement that they're probably better than people think. I mean, now a 38-6 stomping of the Falcons, who offensively have put up a bunch of points and played pretty well.
And they should have beat the Chiefs, by the way.
And they should have beat the Chiefs. I mean, yeah, they're a block field goal away from winning the last two, being 7-4 with a win over Kansas City. The Steelers, another team that made a statement, a couple statements made in the NFL. Obviously, Tucker misses two field goals in this game, and they don't get the two-point conversion at the end. But that Steelers defense is legit. Wilson's playing well enough. They're doing some wrinkles with that offense. Can't get in the end zone, but do enough offensively to beat the Ravens and take control of that division 8-2. Anything else as far as statements? Well, the Lions, I don't know. The Lions are just unbelievable. They absolutely trounced the Jaguars 52-6. They're clearly the best team in the NFC. And they do, and this isn't new to them. Every once in a while they get snake bit by a lesser team. But when they play a lesser team, and obviously the Jaguars without Trevor Lawrence were just not even in the same ballpark as the Lions. But 52-6, I mean, they don't have these duds. They don't play down to competition. They come out and they play their best game no matter who they're playing. And right now, whether it's the tandem backfield that they have, Goff being as consistent and accurate as he's been to go along with the defense and well coached by Campbell. I mean, this is the year to consider, to think about how long the Lions have been around and never made the Super Bowl. I mean, this is the year. They are the clear cut class. It's a lot of C's there. Clear cut class of the NFC. Excuse me?
Do you know the four Odysseys is what I asked?
No.
I don't either.
Should I know the four Odysseys?
There's
Odysseys.
I see the
I say Odyssey, very New York. The four Odysseys?
I don't know. I just see the emails going out about the four Odysseys. We're supposed to practice them. I'm not sure what they are.
Oh, no. I didn't see the email. Thanks for making that point clear to everyone who might be listening.
Well, no, that's why I didn't say it on the air.
Well, I mean, still, but you said it loud in my ear, and I thought you were going to make a joke or something, not, you know, kill me for not reading my emails.
Thanks, I thought it was funny for
Scotty
me and
Montclair.
You.
Scotty Montclair, thanks a lot.
How you doing, Chris?
What's up? What's up, Scotty? How are you?
So the Lions are the very best of a mediocre bunch, and that's without their best defensive player, without Hutchinson, but
yeah,
that's not why I called them. Mm-hmm. The league is, they wanted parity, and they got mediocrity, but
well, I mean, I guess, yeah. I think they're better than mediocre. I think they're a damn good football team.
Well, they are, but the league overall is very mediocre.
Yeah.
So I was watching the Vikings only because I had a teaser going on the game in a parlay that I won. But I was thinking the two guys that couldn't hack it in New York are very good right now with similar names are Sam Darnold and Travis Darnot.
Okay. A lot of people actually mispronounce them and call and vice versa them all the time. You hear people call them.
That's true. So
well, listen, Travis d'Arnaud, I don't even know if I should break them down, obviously. Sam Darnold having a very good year. Started out really hot, was an MVP candidate, cooled off a little bit, still winning football here. Has been a backup. Travis d'Arnaud has had some offensive seasons. I mean, he's better than what he was with the Mets necessarily, but he's never been in an MVP conversation, not for a second, where Sam Darnold literally was playing that well. Now, the position lends itself to that. I get it, but I guess there is some... I thought you were going to talk about Geno Smith and Sam Darnold as two quarterbacks who've left there. Because it took Geno Smith a decade, though, before he found it, to be fair. He was all around the league. And Sam's been the backup at a couple different places, had a chance to play a little bit in Carolina, backup in San Francisco, and now found himself in Minnesota. And again, he's not playing the same level, although he played well today, I believe. I'll have to double-check his numbers. I think he played well today. He hasn't been as good as he was to start the season. He's cooled off a bit, and he's no longer really in any NFL MVP discussions that I see. But, yeah, he's having a real nice year. They're a winning team. They're playing well. They're well-coached, especially in the defensive coordinator position. So they've got a chance in that division, no doubt about it. They're threw two touchdowns and ran in for another. Yeah, it's a good game. Three touchdowns for Sam Darnold. Not Sam Darnaud. Brett Manalapan. What's up, Brett?
Yeah, good morning. I think the Mets have a good minor leader named Luke Ritter. He had 94 RBI last year. They should call him up. He's a DH, maybe get rid of J.D. Martinez.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a great idea. I think that's something we should all consider right now. Let's all think about that. Should we bring up Luke Ritter to play instead? Maybe. I could see that. Sure. Yeah. Yeah. That's a great idea. I am completely on board. You have sold me. That's it. Bring them up. Enough of worrying about, spending all this money on the likes of Juan Soto. They've been building up this farm system for a reason. They brought in Stearns for a reason. Not to go spend money like a drunken sailor. Anybody could do that. You don't need the smartest mind in baseball to go sign Juan Soto. All you have to do is have a meeting and you're all brilliant. Anyone could sign Juan Soto. It's all the little things. It's building this farm system. It's working from the ground up. It's doing what the mid-market teams do. It's taking the Brewer formula and bringing it to Citi Field. Call up all the young prospects. Don't go sign Pete Alonso. Who needs him? That's what I say. But in all seriousness, I think they're going to have to establish some youth. I think they want to do that. Excuse me. I'm fighting a sneeze in the worst way. All right. I think they want to incorporate youth into the team. I don't think, and you've heard Stearns talk about not being overextended. I don't think that has anything to do with Juan Soto. Juan Soto doesn't overextend you. Juan Soto doesn't injure or hamper anything you're trying to do. He's a superstar, 26 years old. You pay that man. That's an easy one. But I don't think J.D. Martinez will be on the team. So the J.D. Martinez is of the world, even the Pete Alonso's of the world, who are, aging, as we all are, but having two back-to-back somewhat lesser seasons, in my mind, certainly this year for sure. Not the best of base runners, not the best of defensive players at 31. Does hit home runs, no doubt, but doesn't really give you much else. I think that's the kind of guy you can eliminate and be more flexible with your spending and be more flexible with your roster and be more open to bringing up guys. Maybe Vientos profiles better as a first baseman and you can get more athletic at the third base position. Like, there's a lot of options for the New York Mets. They have a lot of money. They do have a farm system they've invested in, certainly over the last couple of years. And they do have a GM who's good at this. I mean, what we saw in year one was piecemealing, arguably, the second half of the season, the best rotation in the sport. And he put it together out of thin air. I mean, what he did with the rotation, forget all the other stuff. Forget the Harrison Bader, the Tyrone Taylor, You know, some of the, you know, obviously, Candelita. Forget all of that. What he did with the rotation was masterful. What they transformed Minaya into, what Severino was able to accomplish for them, you know, Peterson, and what they were able to do with that staff, and what they were able to do with piecemealing the pitching together, the bullpen as well. So I think, and I've always thought this, if you ask me which GM is more desperate or would rather, like, I think Brian Cashman no doubt wants Juan Soto back. I think he understands the fan base will kill him or just be upset with the team, how, you know, how difficult it can be to put together a team. I know he likes to find the gems, but he likes to find the cheap, cheap gems. That's really where Cashman lives. I think he definitely wants Juan Soto. And I'm not saying Stearns doesn't want Juan Soto. I'm sure he does. Everybody wants the great players. But something about him makes me think that Stearns would really relish the idea of having all this money and not having, because there's limits to anyone. I mean, Steve Cohen's not going to give, you know, Juan Soto $700 million and then continue to throw around a ton of money. There might be another move or two. I'm not saying he'll do that and then, you know, shut down the coffers, but it'll be on some level where, as opposed, and also, not that, I don't know, I don't want to say that Stearns is someone craving adulation and craving the credit necessarily, but that's not a GM move. Signing Juan Soto has nothing to do with him. Nobody's going to give him credit. I mean, if they win, he'll get some credit, obviously, for the rest of the moves. But Juan Soto has nothing to do with him. He comes in, he signs Juan Soto. That's a Steve Cohen move. That's not him. But if they don't get him, and he signs Christian Walker, and he brings in Santander, or he goes out and finds a couple of gems, and he manages to spend this money and puts money in the top of the rotation, and does different things, and builds a team off of what he did last year, now suddenly look how smart he is, and look at how he was able to build a team good at everything, defensively, this, that. You've got, you know, lesser players, average players, or just, you know, borderline all-star players, as opposed to being what the Yankees have been. And oh, anyone could go out and spend for Juan Soto, and anyone could go out and get this guy, and anybody can go out and spend money. That's Steve Cohen. Look at the shrewd moves this young superstar executive made to build up the Mets within 2 years and get them back into the World Series. Like, that seems a little bit more sexy. Like, I think Brian Cashman just wants to win. He doesn't care about adulation. Clearly, he goes right at you. He doesn't care. He's not looking to create any favors or have anybody on his side. He looks to defend himself. He'll yell. He defends everything they do, no matter how good or bad. I just think this is a different spot for the two of them. But whatever happens, I promise you, it had very little to do with the meeting. And we have no idea what the meeting was like. So please stop reporting on these. I understand why they do, but stop paying attention to them. It means absolutely nothing. Much like our football season. Meaningless. Short and meaningless. 888-808-1019. Call that next. For Jerry Recco, they don't take phone calls, I know. Happens every once in a while. Thank you guys for calling. Thank you for listening. Rami on the other side. Enjoy the rest of your miserable Monday complaining about our football teams all day long here on The Fan. I'll catch you tomorrow, 2 a.m. Have a great day. I'm out of here. Bye-bye.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. WFAN, New York. It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.